This is CliffCentral.com.
Look at us. We're alive.
We made it to Monday.
We made it. Somehow we're in one piece. And we're kicking the week off. Good morning. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. Leanne is here.
Yes, I am indeed. In the flesh.
As opposed to?
I don't know.
Okay.
In my duvet.
Well, Leanne often arrives here in the vapor. That's what she did for the first couple of months when she came back.
I always just used to think that was her dramatic entrance. It was just a cloud of smoke.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Yes. Ben Kopinski is here. Good morning,
Hi.
Ben.
Hi, Sia. Hello. Hi.
And I'm Sia Sangweni. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. It is the 11th of March, 2019, also known as the first day Gareth isn't here. He is on holiday somewhere in Europe where he's skiing.
He's in Fancyistan, I think.
Oh. Yeah, I was never really good with geography, but that rings a bell now that you put it that way.
Yes.
He'll be skiing for the week, so he'll be back next week Monday, and we'll be continuing the show without him. We are at the helm, nonetheless.
Yes.
Doing a lot of work and news and sports and good news stuff and discussing finance with Anthea.
Oh, I thought you said
motoring.
Disgusting news.
No.
Good news stuff and disgusting news
well,
stuff.
Well, there'll always be a handful of disgusting stories that come out. That's just the world we live in. And
you
we
know
are,
how the news is.
It's not our fault.
We are the window to that for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So we want you to do it with us as well. So anytime during the show, you can always message us on 079-748-2090. You can call us as well on 0861-555-189. Or you can even message us on Skype. It's Cliff Central Studio. But before we get into that, how are your weekends, folks? Is it weekends, plural?
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Two people I had a weekend and Leanne also had a weekend.
Yeah, and they were completely separate. So they were two.
But last week I asked you about something. And you know, you English speak.
Yeah, I know.
Because me, it's, you know, it comes and it goes sometimes.
I don't carry any expectations because it's really difficult.
Thank you. All right. How was your weekend there?
It was, I did lots of catching up of telly stuff.
Oh, what are you watching?
There's something called A Million Little Things, a series on DSTV.
Don't you find that a bit too heavy? So A Million Little Series, from my understanding, is about a group of friends who are now dealing with the suicide of one of their friends.
Yes.
And they're all going through their own things in their own lives, and now they have to deal with this, and
yes,
I don't know how their relationship.
And there were affairs, friends were having affairs with friends' husbands, and
oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's a lot of drama, but I was told that it was good, so I started watching it. When I started watching it, I realized that I had started it before, but then stopped. But I just thought, let me, you know, I didn't have much else to watch at the time, so I just got into it, and now I'm into it.
And you're enjoying it?
Yeah, it's okay. It's a little dramatic, very American. Yeah, it's like, you know, there's a guy in a band, and that part always embarrasses me a bit when they bring out their guitar in the middle of a conversation and start singing. I get all awkward.
Yeah.
There's a blue sky in the middle of something, you know?
What do you feel awkward for?
Yeah, then? I'm blushing right now.
Look, I think the series has the most intense and dramaticized first 10 minutes in the very first season of the first episode. That's why I just couldn't get into it. There was someone
too dramatic.
Someone popping bottles, someone popping pills, sorry. And then they found themselves an ice hockey match. And then this one was too much, too much going on. I was telling Ben last week, to which he actually didn't take me seriously. But if we had further had a conversation without the eye roll, Ben, you would have found out that I'm actually consciously trying to watch less and less television. Or spending my time in front of watching something. You know,
I must not have been listening to this conversation. This sounds very foreign.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It's not because I'm trying to be high and mighty, but you think about how much you can accomplish in 15 minutes if you're really focused on doing something, or 30 minutes if you're really focused on doing something.
Oh, yeah.
And you think about how if you watch a movie, on average, you are setting aside 90 minutes in your day to say, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to just look at the screen and do nothing else at all. And I've been thinking, maybe that's not the best use of my time. So I don't really have anything that I'm watching these days.
Mm.
I watch things on recommendations here and there.
Yeah.
But I'm trying not to have, you know, like I've fallen out of This Is Us. It was my biggest obsession a season ago.
No one needs to watch that. Can I just make this announcement right now? No one needs to watch that. No one needs to cry or feel bad about something for the sake of feeling bad about something.
You really do. It's I think it's good for the soul.
That show makes Grey's Anatomy look like Super Bowl and like a jockstrap rolled into one.
Yeah, it does tug at the heartstrings.
Anyone who watches it still can't exactly describe why they're so obsessed with
any
it.
Show
it's just emotional.
That,
it's
any
nice.
Show that relies on a soft guitar in the background to tug at your heartstrings, stop it. Just stop it.
You know what? I haven't watched a lot of series in a while and TV stuff because I've been working a lot. And this weekend, I just wanted to watch mindless stuff.
You rewatched
The Bachelor. I wanted to. No, that's work. I wanted to just turn my mind off of everything and just sit in front of a screen and do exactly what you've just described.
Yeah, but that's balanced, though. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, see, your point's great because you're trying to become more productive. It's wonderful. But there is a great thing about it, having a balance, knowing you work hard to a point and you're going to go, I'm going to watch a movie tonight.
Mm.
I'm just going to be couching.
Yeah, that was the mode I was
in. So you are the reverse
in.
Of where I am. Yeah. Makes sense.
Exactly. And now it's back to work and serious stuff and no more series-as-as. There's another English one for you.
Yeah, I was definitely watching less TV nowadays. But then again, you get to a point where you're just so bombarded with great shows, you eventually just don't watch anything. There almost needs to be this happy medium where there's like just the right amount of show that people are talking about. Because now, I was trying to have this conversation over the weekend, like, what are you watching? And people had such varied kind of things they're watching that the conversation was boring and hardly lasted anywhere.
Mm.
So in the past, where it'd be three or four really great shows, everyone talks about it, therefore you get stuck into it.
Yeah, and because there's so much choice now, everyone is watching either a different channel or a mode or whatever they're called, either Netflix or DSTV or something else or stuff they've downloaded. And no one's on the same path anymore. Before, you know, we would all talk about what happened on Grey's Anatomy because that's all we had. And we were all watching DSTV.
See, and that is why it's so essential that every Friday we update you on The Bachelor together.
We're bringing back the culture of watching things together.
We're bringing back the culture of TV right here on this show.
It's interesting because it's while I was spending some time with family over the weekend, and there was a point on Saturday night we were trying to all watch something together. And we sat in front of the screen. We were at my cousin's place and we had Netflix on and we just spent a good 20 minutes scrolling through everything because that one wanted this and then this one wasn't sure about that. And we ended up just going, okay, never mind, pull out a board game. And that's what we did. Cause as to your point, Ben, rightfully so, there's just too much stuff to watch.
Some people are on episode 10. Some have just started. You can't watch stuff together anymore.
Yeah.
And if you're a couple, you have to. Here's me with my couple advice.
That's so great.
Yeah.
You
have to say to each other, all right, we're going to watch these three things together, but the rest watch whatever you want at whatever time.
Mm.
But you're not allowed to watch this program without me. We have to watch it together.
I'm sure that has led to a divorce already.
Yeah.
Someone watching more episodes of the series than was designated. They're sitting in mediation right now. Ben, how was your weekend?
Well, speaking of TV, did start watching a new show, which I think was quite interesting.
What's it called?
Dirty John.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's about this con man who basically just preys on women who are trying to find love later on in their life. And he says all the right things, gets into their lives, manipulates, cons, steals, swindles. It is pretty hectic.
So he preys on cougars.
Yeah, but it's based on a true story.
That's it. I was going to say.
So Netflix has the actual documentary about who this guy was, and then there's the actual series about portraying. Obviously, it's based on true events, which means that they have some creative license here and there. But Eric Bernard is the main actor.
Oh yes.
And it's good. Like it's really gripping. Yeah.
Sure.
So I watched that. Then I went to a triathlon yesterday.
Mm.
So this guy
went to it. You didn't partake.
No, I didn't. Okay. I'm not quite that inclined anymore in life. Mm. But this guy making this web series around Hobbo, it was his first Olympic distance triathlon, and he did it. He finished it.
What is an Olympic distance?
So you swim for 1.5 kilometers, heavy, and then you cycle, 40 something kilometers, and then you run 10.
No, just running 10 is enough. Thank you.
The thing is, prior to yesterday, he had never run 10. But he did all of that, then he ran the 10. So if you saw my Instagram profile yesterday, I did like a whole story around it.
Have you phoned him this morning to check if he's still alive?
He's still alive. But yeah, he's lost 23 kilograms now. So he's
since yesterday. Yeah, since I can imagine.
That's I would a lot of work.
since September, yeah. So Jesus, that was brilliant. Basically all my day yesterday. And then I came home and just got onto the couch and died because I had to wake up at like 4:30.
How long did it take him to finish that?
3 hours, 57 minutes.
That's really not bad. It would have taken me
I was going to ask
3 hours just to get my costume on to get into the pool.
Exactly. But it's like in the heat and it's like a proper trail run too. It's not like you're running on the road. It's like up and down hills and rocks and in between kudus and.
So was the swimming in a pool or was it in a lake?
Big lake. So that Cradle Moon place in the Cradle.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
big lake. You'll see the video comes out tomorrow. Mm. Very excited about this.
I'd have to have someone check the lake to see if there's anything funny.
Oh no.
Any slushy bits at the bottom.
There's always a slushy bit.
Yeah. There could be some weird bacteria that makes its way underneath my nail and gives me a huge foot. No, bye.
The Loch Ness Monster.
And that is why I didn't see people like either of you yesterday, because this isn't your thing.
Makes sense.
But also played board games Saturday night.
Oh, there's this board game trend happening here.
Yeah,
it was cool. So it was good friends of ours. So it was the wife's 33rd birthday, I think. And we played, we had like a great dinner. And then we played this board game called What Do You Meme? So you get a meme.
Meme.
Yeah, so you get like a picture and then you've got it's basically like Cards Against Humanity. Everyone submits a title or a descriptor of something.
Okay.
And then you decide which is the best caption for the meme and that person wins the round. So, you put the card up. There's a little easel. The game comes on. You put the card up, although we then beamed it onto the screen. And then everyone submits a card to that. Or you can have a freestyle round where you make your own thing up.
Look at 2019. We have a card game called What Do You Mean?
Yeah, it's good.
And you screen it onto the wall.
Yes.
Yeah, and then in the freestyle round, there was this kid who was literally naked. And my suggestion was, when you really want to go to Neverland. And then I quickly realized, I'm not in the studio. Those jokes don't quite work that well in public.
Jeez, I played Cards Against Humanity with a group of friends once when we were away, and one of them got so offended. She ended up going and sitting in the bedroom.
Oh.
Yeah, she was like...
That's great. You must always do things like that in life. You must always purge the people that shouldn't be in your life. If you get offended by Cards Against Humanity...
No, you know what? She was, I think she had just fallen pregnant and she hadn't told anybody. And we were like being brutal. So I don't know. And also she's quite sensitive when it comes to, children and poverty and things like that.
Oh, right.
Which I think we all should be. Yeah. I mean, let's just
look at that weirdo caring about others.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like Cards Against Humanity does have cards like midgets fist fighting in an abortion bucket.
But exactly. I mean, you know exactly what you're getting yourself into.
She didn't. It was her first time. And, I mean, we continued playing, but you kind of felt a little bad guffawing at really horrible things.
Yeah, because the more horrible it is, the more you laugh.
Yeah.
There was another game called Speak Out where you got to put this mouth thing in.
Oh, yes. They do it on the Ellen Show.
Yeah, it's a little contraption that basically pulls your lips out of the way.
As if you were going to have dental surgery.
No, I don't like it. And it's also a drool factor.
And then obviously all the words that you need to say are usually rhyme with fuck. So it'll be like buck or...
Question.
And so it comes out as a swear word.
Now, did you guys all share the one mouth guard thing?
No, only like three people used the... Yeah, it wasn't the long game. It was like the middle game.
Please tell me at least two of the three are the couple. Because that would... at least make it a little easier.
See, no one swapped mouth guards. That was you getting it.
Oh, that was my question.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, still don't like it. And then I also spent some time with my niece who is just a drooling machine right now.
Oh gosh.
And
how old is she now?
She was born in September.
Yeah.
October,
so she's teething.
February,
and that's where all the drools come
from. Yeah, 6 months. There we go. Yeah, she likes to suck on things now. There has to be something that she's being able to suck at. And there was a point where she was playing around with her wet wipes. You know, all of these things, even though they're for babies, they are, you know, they have some medical stuff on it. And my sister just casually lets my niece suck on this. I'm like, are you okay, woman? This could be like making her sick in some way. Maybe I'm overthinking things, but alas. But in the conclusion of it was like a 2-hour visit. I really did think I will see her in another... properly in another 2 years. I need.
Really?
I need.
Not for you.
I need conversation. I need to gauge with you. I need words. I need to understand why you're crying for the third time in 8 minutes. Then I'll be able to help you out. But for now, she just looks at you. She does smile every now and then, which is quite cute. I also heard that kids at that age don't really genuinely smile. It's just like a muscle lapse. But I still think it's cute nonetheless. And she just drools a lot. She likes now just staring at people. So she doesn't like to be left in her crib or like on the floor on her playmat. But she likes to be held up so that she can see what's happening and she'll respond to sound.
Mm.
So yes, she is developing as a tiny little human. But still my best descriptor of babies are, someone on Twitter once said babies are like meth addicts or something. Or,
oh yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because they can't control their head and they're into weird things. And I'm like, yeah, it's like little, babies are mini meth addicts. So it was quite cute. But also what I got to do this weekend was, you know, a friend of mine and I hadn't seen each other for a while and we wanted to spend some time together and do something new and different. And we both just decided to go to Gold Reef City, the theme park.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Up until we got to the theme park and we realized that actually both of us don't enjoy
going on rides.
So
I was like, let's go to Gold Reef City.
Yeah.
And on the way, Do you want to go on the big one? No, I don't really like rides.
I don't like rides. I don't like
Neither do I.
I don't like being outside on the weekend.
Should we go to the Wimpy and take the little train around the perimeter?
Okay, so I have to break it down properly. Really, the only reason we decided on the theme park was a process of elimination. We've done most of the big notable things to do in Johannesburg.
You've done like those escape rooms and things?
Oh no, that's anxiety. You see what? No, why would you do that?
Because a roller coaster is not anxiety.
But as we've gone to all the great bars to have drinks. We've, you know, walked around the botanical gardens or whatever the case is. We've done the tour around the city in the big red bus. And so we thought, okay, sure, let's go to a theme park. And we had signed up and we got our tags and we were walking around now, actually ready to get things started. And we realized after walking past probably our sixth ride and coming up with our sixth reason as to why we shouldn't do it, we looked at each other and thought, oh, we both don't like being here. So, it was so frustrating because we had paid for everything. It was too late to back out now. But yeah, part of my, and I did this a few years ago, year of yes and saying yes to things and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. Part of my year of yes was also learning to say no to things because I never said no to things because I always felt like I had to compromise. But now I'm proud to say no to things. I'm proud to say, no, I actually don't want to do this. And I'm not going to put myself up to something that I don't want to do. So I ended up going on, two rides, and I didn't enjoy either of them. The one was called the Tornado, and it's you and your partner, and you sit in.
It's like the shells, but it's a little more, yeah. No, it's quite hectic. It doesn't look that hectic until you're on it.
Look, I know it seems like a dwarf realization to have after the fact, but the names of these rides are also quite telling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's called a Tornado. It's not called a Skip Through the Meadow. So the mere fact that it's called the Tornado, it's like, oh, shucks. You know, then I had minor whiplash and then I thought I would die and then I thought I'd throw up on myself.
Well, that's the thing. As you get older, you become more aware of dying and you become a little more scared of going on these things. You know, you lose that absolute inhibition. Yeah. And I mean, I went quite recently and the whole time I was on the ride, I thought, oh, I'm going to have a heart attack or a stroke.
What did you enjoy?
About the rides or which ride?
Yeah,
which
rides do you enjoy? What type of rides?
I go for the hardcore ones.
Really?
Yeah.
They're the best.
Yeah.
Because I always think like, okay, this ride looks scary as all hell, but very smart people have made it and they have to be very safe. Otherwise they get sued big time. Mm. And then with that, I go, I enjoy the ride and I think, see, my theory is great. There's no problem. And then out of nowhere, you'll see like some kid gets decapitated on a roller coaster in Nebraska.
That happened recently.
Yeah.
What do you, this is what I was trying to figure out. What do you enjoy about it?
Apart from
your hypothesis and proving it right or wrong.
It's like everyone wants a rush of something or other. Some people get a rush out of watching a TV show about people hating each other. Some people get a rush out of eating. Some people get a rush out of just doing something that's very different. And like, danger's a big deal. Why do you think girls like bad boys? Danger's like a...
And men like bad bitches.
Well, that's their problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we all like a bit of danger. That's why we look at like wildlife in a certain way. It's like, oh, that thing could kill me.
Because this is what I aimed to do on Saturday. As much as I didn't enjoy getting onto the rides, I said to myself, I'm at least going to try and find the pleasure in it. So, of course, my mere and initial concern is, I'm going to die.
You see, some people enjoy that.
But see, that's what you approach every single day when you get out of bed.
True, because the world is a dangerous place and the killer is always 2 seconds away. But what I...
The killer, it's like your Neve Campbell from the 90s.
You guys think this life thing is like stage one of Pac-Man. Meanwhile, it's stage 8 of Tower of Terror. Anyway. So
that was another ride at Gold Reef City.
Yes, which I did not, of course, go on. But I pushed that thought of you going to die alone because as you were along your thinking, Ben, it's made by smart people. Hmm. They make a lot of money here. They would not risk it all by making a crappy, shabby ride.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, I'm guaranteed to be safe. So let me try to experience what everyone loves. And the sensation of your stomach going up and down in your body, your neck about to be thrown off your whole body completely, almost blacking out, that is not a sensation I love. So if you're all about the rush, great. But I just realized it's actually really not for me. And two rides in, we both looked at each other. We agreed that we don't like this anymore. And the highlight of my day at Gold Reef City...
Leaving?
I found a restaurant that serves an amazing mojito, and boy, oh boy, did I get well acquainted with that.
That's nice.
It was freaking fantastic. And then I actually got drawn into all of the games there, like the little arcade-type games. Ended up winning a shitload of random things that I don't know what I'm going to do with. Right now, in my lounge, I have a big, fluffy, bouncy ball. Like, I mean, one of these exercise balls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's fluffy.
It's essentially an exercise ball with a fluffy material over it. So it looks like a 3D emoji. And I don't.
That's amazing. Can I have it?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll fit it into my car again because it's just massive. And I don't know what to do with it. I think it is meant for kids because there's a little handle on
top. Screw the kids. I get too much already. I would like that.
Sure, Ben.
Thank you, Sia.
It's your birthday present in advance.
That would be fun if you could have these Velcro, the eyes and the mouth, and you could make your own emoji for the day, like however you were feeling.
Like a little Mr. Potato Head.
Yes, and you can interchange them and make your own.
Well, there we go. Well, I think it's safe to say we all had good weekends, rather. And so let's get into the five things that you need to know this morning. But before that.
Good idea.
Yes. Before that, look, it is a Monday. You might have had an intense weekend, or actually you might be gearing yourself up for quite a hard week. And so you do need to relax a bit. And if you need some body and mind rejuvenation, well, escape to an award-winning day spa in the heart of Rivonia, Johannesburg. SkinSense Day Spa, friends to us here at cliffcentral.com, hosts a comprehensive range of expert beauty treatments for women and men as well. Whatever you're looking for and however much or little precious me time you have, you'll find your perfect solution at SkinSense Day Spa. Now, this month's specials include a discounted detox package. Ooh.
Mm.
Plus a free manicure when you book your pedicure. So find out more at cliffcentral.com. Ooh, a discounted
that would be good right
package.
Now, because yeah, resolutions are over and most people are retoxed again.
Yeah, it has been a tough 3 months of the year, so we actually might look into that. We all need to look into that. But okay, looking into the five things that you need to know this morning. First things first, let's go with some Trump news. U.S. President Donald Trump is seeking $8.6 billion US dollars in fresh funding for a wall on the US-Mexico border, which is likely triggering another fight with Congress. Are you ready for that? The 2020 budget request, which is set to be formally unveiled today, would far exceed the 5.7 billion US dollars that Trump demanded last year. Now, that previous request led to this whole hoopla that resulted in a 35-day partial shutdown of the US government, which was the longest ever thus far. Now, Democratic congressional leaders like Nancy Pelosi, decried the move, warning Trump that another legislative defeat would await him. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow conceded that the new request would likely mean a renewed fight in Congress over wall funding. I suppose there will be, he told Fox News on Sunday, but Kudlow said Trump is going to stay with his wall. He's going to stay with his border security. I think it's essential. But separately, Kudlow expressed optimism that the U.S. economic growth will surpass 3% in 2019 and beyond. Just another day in U.S. politics land. Well, here's something interesting, though. In 2019, well, there's now a text-generating bot nicknamed Toby that has produced nearly 40,000 news stories about the results of the November 2018 elections in Switzerland for the media giant TAM Media in just 5 minutes.
Fusak.
So talk about fake news and how we combat that.
Well, goodbye journalists. We'll just use a robot. Thank you.
That's interesting. So these kinds of artificial intelligence programs, which are now available for nearly a decade, are becoming more and more widespread as news organizations turn to them to produce stories, personalize news delivery, and in some cases even sift through data to find important news. So Toby wrote on vote results for each of Switzerland's 2,222 municipalities in both French and German for the country's largest media group, according to a paper presented last month at a journalism conference in Miami. So a similar automated program called Hylograph. I just did that in my closest that was European
your accent. Yes.
Yeah, it's just
your version.
Has enabled the Washington Post Daily to cover some 500 election races, along with local sports and business since 2014. So the quote here is, we've seen a greater acceptance of the potential for artificial intelligence of or robo-journalism in newsrooms around the world. This is what Damian Radcliffe, a University of Oregon professor who follows consumer trends and business models for journalism, said. These systems can offer speed and accuracy and potentially support the realities of smaller newsrooms and the time pressures of journalists. Well, isn't that something? Could we be looking at a future where, as much as everyone is complaining about fake news, we reach a point where actually we don't need humans to be writing stories or reporting on stories and we use AI?
It wipes out 16 years of my career. You know, as long as one day somebody remembers that I did sit in a newsroom and churn out stories for 15 years.
Leanne, we will remember that you were here. But as you were saying, you know, we look at the fact that we're moving into a society where we do have the luxury of time and being able to dictate what we do with our time. You've just said that you don't even have time to spend watching your favorite series. Imagine the possibilities that could come out of that.
Yeah.
And I think very objectively, we speak about the fact that we have the term fake news in society today. We look at how you go onto News24 or the New York Times and it's full of opinion pieces and someone's experience of attending X and someone else's encounter of dealing with Y, but it's not the objective facts.
No. No, I don't mind if a robot takes care of all the facts, but I mean, it'll never be able to replace opinion pieces and things like that, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's all good and well as well to have opinion pieces, but as long as we view it that way. But in the good old days, if you went and you watched the news at 8, it was someone reporting on the news. You didn't switch on to a panel of 5 people discussing how they feel about something, which is where I feel like we slightly lost the plot. But alas, Keeping to some South African updates now, Police Minister Bekkie has applauded crime intelligence in reducing cash heists in South Africa. Hey, folks, let's at least celebrate and look forward to something.
That's because there's less cash.
I think it's because there were so many heists at one point that now, comparatively speaking, there are less.
Yeah, that's called a decrease, Leah.
Never you mind. This is me just trying to find something else.
When there's a sale on, you know, people, the shops put the prices up first and then bring them down for the sale.
Oh, goodness, folks. All right. Xele was speaking at the ANC headquarters at Luthuli House yesterday morning during a media briefing on matters of security and stability. He says that it's unfortunate that most of the work of the unit is not documented as often as it should. Xele says that the unit is also doing a great job in the fight against gangsterism in the Western Cape, saying that one thing that the crime intelligence has done is a reduction of cash heights. So, all right, a half applaud to the crime intelligence?
No, we'll take any positive story.
Okay, so a full applause. All right, full applause to them.
I do believe there's less cash there.
Yeah, that could be it, yes, Ben, you are right. The fourth story that you need to then know this morning, the Inkatha Freedom Party leader, Mangosuthu Buthelezi, kudos to him, my goodness, for still going on and on and on, says that it's unlike the ANC, which has been exposed as being corrupt at the core. So the IFP isn't like the ANC, rather. His party, he says, has an excellent track record in managing resources to maximize development and growth. Buthelezi unveiled the 44-year-old organization's elections manifesto at the Chatsworth Stadium yesterday afternoon. Buthelezi says the present culture of corruption has created disrespect for the rule of law. He said when his party administered the KwaZulu-Natal government, not a single member from the IFP was implicated in any scandals. He says that never once in 19 was a single allegation of corruption leveled against my administration in KZN. The same honest leadership characterized the IFP after 1994. I assume by saying never once in 19, he means never once in 19 years. This is a direct quote from him, so I don't know.
It's amazing he was awake enough to deliver such a speech.
Sure. Yeah. Buthelezi says instead service delivery looting has become rampant. In front of our eyes, people at all levels of government are alleged to have been involved in the looting at VBS Bank. Now, the leader of the fourth biggest opposition says South Africa needs to get back to integrity and values. Use it, don't use it, think about it, don't think about it. I just think, you know, Buthelezi, I think, would stand a better chance if he had a younger crop of leaders. Like, he should almost have an incubation program running in the IFP.
Yeah, you don't hear much about the IFP youth.
No, it's, yeah, it's so traditionalist. And that kind of is the complete opposite of being progressive and willing to change and choose new young leaders.
Yeah, and non-continuation planist.
Yes, okay.
That's also at its just blatant core. And the last story that you need to know this morning, if you were just keeping tabs of everything that was happening with regards to this plane crash, then here's a bit of an update for you. Ethiopia will observe a national day of mourning today as investigators search for bodies and clues into the crash of a Nairobi-bound Boeing minutes after takeoff from Addis Ababa, killing all 157 people on board. Yeah. Ethiopian Airlines said it will work with Boeing, the National Civil Aviation Authority, and international experts in trying to unravel what caused the brand new plane. This is what makes it scarier. It is a brand new plane to come down just 6 minutes into its flight. 8 crew and 149 passengers from 35 different countries perished when flight ET302 plowed into a field near Tulufera village outside the town of Bishoftu, which is some 60 kilometers southeast of Addis Ababa.
Very rural area.
Still very scary, though.
Oh, yeah.
A witness told media reporters that the plane came down in flames. Mm-mm. The plane was already on fire when it crashed to the ground. The crash caused a big explosion. This is what Tegan De Casa recounted at the site, littered with passenger belongings, human remains, and also airplane parts around a massive crater at the point of impact. They continue to explain the plane was in flames and its rear side shortly before the crash. The plane was swerving erratically before the crash. A local farmer said the plane seemed to be aiming to land at a nearby level open field, but crashed before reaching there. Among the dead were tourists, business travelers, UN staff, including some who worked for the World Food Programme, the United Refugee Agency, and the International Organization for Migration. The IOM, which is the International Organization for Migration, said in a statement, early indications were that 19 staff members of UN-affiliated organizations perished in the crash. Quite an unfortunate
everyone's
story.
Worst nightmare.
Absolutely, and I think as well it's quite scary to think of the family members in this, you know, before even the reports that finalized and confirmed that everyone on board the plane had died. You are clinging onto hope, or you might just be trying to find out what your brother's flight details were to make sure, was it the flight he was on? Maybe there might be a hope he wasn't. Or now you've confirmed that there was a crash, you're hoping that he wasn't on there. You know, it's playing with your mind so much.
Horrible.
And yeah.
Well, yeah, it's playing with Boeing's mind, because it's the second deadly crash of a Boeing plane in just 5 months. And some airlines have actually now grounded their new Boeings until these investigations have been completed. Mm. It's Boeing's fastest ever selling aircraft. It's a 737 MAX jet. It's pretty new. But, yeah.
And I wonder what happened in a matter of minutes for the plane to crash. It's one thing if it was, you know, 3 hours into its journey and maybe something should have malfunctioned. One would like to assume that in all of the checks that are done, something would have been obvious enough to make sure that the flight doesn't even leave the ground. But let's not overthink this. We can't overthink this, because it will just lead
to
our
worry. No, it's horrible, because we still have to travel, and so, you know,
I have a flight this week.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But that's when most engine malfunctions happen, isn't within the first part of the plane's journey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at you knowing that.
I know, because that's the part where I'm the most nervous, because of that stat. But let's not talk about it, please.
Sorry. The reason why there was a brief silence was because I was now paralyzed for a moment thinking about this. Mm-mm. All right. So let's, I'm not even going to bother going down the cryptocurrency road. So Ben, what are the headlines this morning for sport?
Yeah, the Blitzbox win again. Yeah, it's been a while. Proteas do the business against Sri Lanka, and a very interesting weekend of rugby. Yeah, just so much, really, basically.
Okay.
So much, yeah. Very succinct headlines there. So the Blitzbox, they've had a bit of a, what do you call it, transitional period. They've had the ups and downs. They've lost a lot of good players. And, of course, they've got to get newcomers into the team. So this is how all things work. You get different sort of generations that come through. And, well, the Blitzbox haven't won anything on the HSBC World 7 Series so far this year. Well, they won in Canada. They beat France in the final. How the hell France got to the final, I have no idea. But what an incredible win for this young team. So that is something that to be very excited about this from this weekend. But also a really good weekend of rugby, as far as if you're a Bulls fan. The Bulls seem to be the real deal again. They've got a good pack. They've got a very good sort of pragmatic yet effective game plan. And Andre Pollard may be in the form of his life. They were far too good, beating the Sharks 37-14. Captain America downing the Black Panthers. The Lions, they were pretty decent against the Jaguars. But then they let them come back at the end. But still, 47-39. Again, a rejuvenated Lions team doing the business there. Waratahs beat the Reds. The Blues beat the Sunwolves. The Crusaders absolutely trousered the Chiefs. And it's a second-string Crusaders team, basically. A lot of their big players are resting. And some of the even bigger players were on the bench. 57-28. It's like the Chiefs just haven't rocked up this year. Or they just drink heavily. One of the two. First games of the weekend saw the Hurricanes narrowly beating the Highlanders 25-22. And the Rebels, they beat the Brumbies 29-26. In Six Nations rugby, Wales is still on track to win the Six Nations, which is the biggest deal in Northern Hemisphere-ness. So they beat Scotland 18-11 away, which is a big deal. England, they were too strong for Italy, obviously, 57-14. And in Ireland, they kept their slim chances of retaining their title by beating France 26-14. The Proteas were, again, just far too good for Sri Lanka. Batting first this time round, the Proteas scored 331 for 5. Quinton Akok got a big 100. And Andile Petlokwaya, he got some runs down the order at a very quick rate. Then it rained, as it does in Durban. And Sri Lanka had absolutely no blade chance of winning whatsoever. Eventually, SA winning by 71 runs on the Duckworth-Lewis system. Yeah. Another cricket news. Well, the West Indies are just terrible at T20. They got bowled out for 72. That's the second. They got bowled out for 71. They got second sub-100 total there as England win that series 3-0. But another great series in the go right now is India versus Australia. It is now tied at 2-2 in a 5-match series. Australia getting their biggest ever run chase against India. They scored 359 for 6 with Hanscom getting 100. And some guy called Turner, he got 84 of 43. Virat Kohli failed for the first time in years. He only got like 7. So that'll be one match to go, and that is on Wednesday. Yeah. But today the Proteas will be tightening or re-strategizing their squad. So you know that there's 15 guys that are going to the World Cup in England. If you go onto my YouTube channel at Follow the Bounce, I made a video about this, or who I should believe should be going. And what Otis Gibson and the team is doing, they're going to really kind of just tweak it one more time, because they've essentially got two more official matches before they have to go to England in May. I know you think they're going to have more matches between there and now and then. They will have some warm-ups once they get to England itself, but this is the kind of big cut and thrust ODI chances they have right now. So you've got to think Adam Markram has got to come back. The guy's been in scintillating form recently. And JP Duminy as well. Now people say, yeah, but he's done bugger all. Well, the last time he played for the Proteas, he was man of the series in that terrible series against Sri Lanka. He injured his shoulder, hasn't played. Yes, you're right. But he's now scored back-to-back 50s in the momentum one day competition. His bowling's been pretty good too. And you got to think, we have to have always that balance of experience and exuberance and talent. And I think Duminy, this is a good time in his career. And I know he's failed so many different times. I just got a good feeling about this guy. And I think with his time away, we sit in the commentary box, you see the cricket from a different angle. I do believe this is going to be a good time for him. And he will add value to this World Cup squad. So that'll be announced sometime today, which I'm sure I'll talk about on social media later as well. In football, that's a big sport.
It is.
Yeah, it's huge. People watch.
I've heard about this football.
Every single week.
Wow,
it's amazing. Especially see it on Saturdays and Sundays, by the looks of things.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
So Saturday, the matches that were extremely interesting in the English Premier League. Well, Southampton beat Spurs. Spurs really are just throwing away any chance they have of making this top four. And then Man City, they beat Watford. So they go, or they strengthen their position at the top of the log. Liverpool said, well, not so fast. We're also very good. They beat Burnley 4-2. So those two are still very much neck and neck at the top. Chelsea, though, it goes from bad to worse for them. They were held at home by Wolves.
That's not a good thing
at
all.
That's not a good thing at all, is it? No. Very frightening situation that could be for anybody. 1-1 was the score, which then opened up the opportunity for Arsenal to get back into the top four. And they took that lead with both of their hands.
Two of them.
Both of their hands, times two hands, yes. They beat Man United 2-0. The second goal was maybe a dubious penalty, but Arsenal were just better on the day. Simple as that. And that is a big result for them. So if you do look at the log, of course, there's the season comes to an end in a couple of months' time. I think there's 9 matches left for all the teams. Man City currently, after everyone's played 30 matches, 74 points for Man City, 73 for Liverpool, so those two are the only title contenders. Then you get Spurs all the way back in third on 61 points, Arsenal now on 60, Man United on 58, Chelsea, after being held by Wolves, on 57. They do actually have a game in hand, though. So, well, we'll see how that goes from then. What else do you want to know? Well, so much golf. So much golf, and what an incredible weekend for South African golf. Justin Harding won his first ever European Tour title. There's now 5 wins in the last 6 months. He won 2 in SA, 2 in Asia, and now the big one in Europe. So to win in Qatar, you've obviously got to do quite well in the wind. Of course, Justin being from the Cape, easy for him. He shot a final round 66, to get the two-shot win in the end, and that's just majillions and majillions of money. But also three...
Is that a new...
Well, when you win overseas and you win euros and stuff, yeah.
It's not... It's difficult it's to more quantify. Than a billion or trillion. It's not?
In rand
majillions.
Terms...
Majillions.
Majillions, okay. Yeah. In rand terms, hard to quantify how much
just
money it really
make
is.
A note of that. Thank
and
you.
With that wind, you've got to be really skilled and... Or do you? Maybe you just hit into the... opposite direction that you want the ball to go in.
Leanne, that is a very cuck idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you've really got to know what you're doing in the wind. That's just, that's like essentially what it is.
Like a candle in the wind. Sorry, I'm quiet.
Yeah, you're doing badly now, Sia. So Justin Harding won €259,669. And see, how many ronts is that?
Gajillions, or is it majillions?
It is. Exactly. See, and Anthea verifies majillions. So there you go.
So Justin it's Harding, official.
But then also very impressive was the fact that three South Africans finished in the runner-up spot. George Kutsia,
nice.
Christian Besaidenhout, and Eric van Rooyen. They also won half a majillion each.
Cool.
Wow.
So 69,000 euros they won for that.
Brilliant. Sure.
Yeah, there's some women.
Did they have to work for the rest of the year?
Yes.
More golf.
They've got to get into the top 50. Justin Harding will now be just outside the top 50. Once you get into the top 50, you get invited to every event in the whole world. You can play all the majors, and then you're making so much money that your money then has money.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a really amazing situation to be in. And the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Francesco Molinari, he came from behind in the final round, shooting 8 under, 64. Look at that. Boom, he wins by 2. McIlroy just plateaued again. He's a bit of a... McIlroy is a bit like the Proteas. So fun to watch. Can't help but love him. But jeepers, he goes missing when it really matters, doesn't he? But a whole bunch of Europeans dominated the leaderboard there. I think only one American in the top 10. It's exciting stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, I really do think that is it for the sport for the weekend. Yeah. Blitzbox, I told you about them first up. That was a big deal. And then, yeah, there was football and the golf and rugby. But yes, cricket... Big announcement around the squad today.
Ooh, what time?
Don't act like you care.
You can put your diary away.
I'll just wait for you to tell me.
78 minutes past 15.
Okay, brilliant.
Oh, that's when I'll also count my majillions. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ben. I'll rather just wait to be excited on Wednesday.
But go watch the video I made about this whole squad thing on my YouTube channel. I put a lot of time and effort into it.
Mm.
I try to use that stop motion animation thing.
I don't know.
Oh, yes, yes.
But okay. Now you can watch the video and find out what it's all about.
That's very cool.
Okay. Yeah. We haven't heard this classic in a while. So it's only fitting because Anthea's here. Oh. Mm-hmm. Anthea.
Good morning, Sia. How are you?
We have to get all Donna summered up. Good, thank you. How's your weekend?
Very good, thank you. Lots of swimming, cycling, running. It's been my life doing that.
Let's just talk about this quickly. Ben, how far did Hopper run or
and was
jump
this the
again?
Same event?
Did a 51-50. It was a 1.5 kilometer swim. It was a 40 cycle and a 10 run.
So, an Olympic distance
yes.
triathlon.
Yes.
Ah, yeah. I did that 3 weeks ago in Cape Town. I did a 2 kilometer swim this morning. My gym now opens at 4:30 in the morning.
Just pretty cash, yeah, because people want to swim for 2 kilometers. They're going to need to get the time up.
I want to, I really want to wake up at half past three so that I can go to the gym and swim.
2 kilometers.
At half past four. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many length is that? Like
was
a Magellan length.
Was she being sarcastic?
Oh, no. No, not at all. So, Leanne, clearly, it's just you and I who don't know about this.
Yeah.
Anthea also knows it's like an Olympic distance. And
I think there are winners and we're losers in this issue. So
right, at the same
on
time.
This issue.
Yeah, let's just know our
you guys are alternative
market, yeah.
winners.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Ben. Talking about genuine winners with regards to finance. What do we have with the finance this weekend there?
Well, the economy seems to be winning. Our fourth quarter GDP number was 1.4%. So we grew 1.4% in the last quarter of 2018. Which was slightly ahead of consensus, which was 1.2%. And this was after a rebound of 2.6% in the third quarter. But don't forget, we had a recession, so negative growth in the first and second quarter of last year. It's an odd one, right? Because we don't know how to feel about this. One of my fund managers on the WhatsApp group said, I don't know if I'm happy that we beat expectations or that I'm sad it's only 1.4%. And he wasn't joking. Like, he was serious. Like, yeah. That's a terrible number, right? But we're so happy that it's a growth number.
Better up than flat or negative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So overall for last year, the growth was 0.8%, which is not great. I mean, you know, the NDP talks about 5% growth. I don't know how you're going to increase that more than fivefold. I just don't know. Market reaction was kind of muted. It was the same thing. They weren't sure what to go. The Rand was a bit lower. Bond yields were slightly down. And really the growth was out of the agriculture and finance sectors. Agriculture, sure, because it's coming off a low base. We all know the drought from the previous year had affected our agriculture quite badly. Mm-hmm. The interesting one, though, is finance. I mean, it just seems to be the mainstay of our economy right now, which is odd.
Why is it odd?
Because the stock market really performed very badly last year. One, our consumers under pressure, so our economy's not growing. And it's almost as if the consumer is quite aware that he mustn't overspend and that he mustn't take on too much, or she mustn't take on too much debt, and they must pay down their debts. Because actually, even from the banking results, you'll see that the non-performing loans, kind of the bad debts, are not quite as bad as you would expect in this environment. So
does that mean you're pleasantly surprised?
I am pleasantly surprised.
Because we're always speaking about how people should be more financially savvy and making better decisions, and it seems like they are.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was at a presentation last week, and somebody who spoke was from the Debt Council of South Africa. I think that's what his acronym stood for, something like that. And he did a presentation on how much debt the consumer is in South Africa. And the numbers are staggering. But
do you remember some of them?
I don't off by heart. I'll get them. Because they were quite interesting. But the banking results show that people are actually paying their debts, or not defaulting on loans, I should say. And also, of course, we've got kind of all these new banks coming in, which I think is going to be interesting. So yeah, that the fact that the finance sector is the mainstay of growth in South Africa at the moment is quite bizarre. Talk about banks.
Yes.
Have you heard the rumor that our friend and deputy governor of the Reserve Bank, Daniel Mminele, might take over from Maria Ramos?
At APSA.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's an interesting one, and I'm going to reserve judgment. Because when I know, he sometimes listens.
Uh-oh.
I think it would be a good move. You know, he was the bank's regulator of the Reserve Bank previously. But yeah, heading up APSA, I think that's a tough job, eh?
Jeez, yeah. I mean, if he's going to do it, he better start training now. This is no little triathlon. No.
Yeah, that's a proper one. Hey? I mean, he's got the stiff competition. He's got an old school, old style bank, which I think he needs to turn around and be innovative. Like, how do you do that with such a clunky old ship?
Well, I mean, the marketing's in full swing, you know, in terms of making
it. What do you think of that marketing?
I found
it's very banky.
I found absolutely nothing wrong with it. I didn't understand the criticism.
I didn't understand the marketing campaign. It said, "Hello Johannesburg, hello Mzanzi."
But I think that's what they're using across Africa.
Okay.
Well, I'm not trying
to defend it. I promise.
I just think that they're stuck in a space of they don't want to reinvent the wheel again. So it's how much do we?
Was that a safe bet?
Yeah.
For £675 million that they got from Barclays for that branding.
Quite a delightful
pounds, bit. Not rands.
And the drone.
So what's that in So what's that in rands?
Magillions.
Yeah.
A lot of magillions. So if we do take these whispers about Daniel to be correct, could we see him? Because I think his current role expires in June this year.
I think it's June, you're right.
So what would APSA be doing currently?
Well, they've got someone in Temporarily.
Acting.
Yes, they've got an acting CEO at the moment. And I think Maria's last day was a couple of weeks ago already.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's normally how they do it.
They have kind of an interim CEO, someone to manage the process while they decide. It's a big decision to make. Right?
Yeah.
And it's only rumors at this stage.
Okay.
And then from company-specific news, MTN reported, shock, surprise.
Shock, horror, gasp.
Yeah, gasp. Like, where did this come from? They're targeting return on equity of 20%, which kind of translates into 12 rand of headline earnings per share. They're selling their Botswana operation for 4.2 billion rand. So that's 6.1 times EBITDA, which is fantastic because we all know that MTN needs the money. They're paying a dividend of 5 rand with 10% growth expectation. And we all love dividend paying shares. Their capex is down. And then probably the most important one for them at the moment, Nigeria, because they're trying to list it, had a 40% data growth and 17% revenue growth, which shows that, of course, the other areas are not growing as quickly. So voice and landline and that sort of thing.
How far off do you think they are in listing that, if they were to?
Just the Nigerian operation? Yeah. I'm not sure, to be honest. I think it's October this year or July this year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan, but you don't know how these things go.
Company results with Aspen?
Oh, yes. So this was a disaster. The pharmaceutical company.
I love how you aren't mincing your words with this. Just a disaster.
I don't know where to start, quite frankly.
Viceroy
put out a report on Aspen last year. I don't know if you remember. And then the share came down a bit and then bounced back and it's kind of been struggling a little bit ever since. And the Viceroy report was shown to be spurious. It was shown to be negligible. It was rubbish, basically. But actually these results, Aspen have done themselves no favors. Basically, cash flow is going backwards. Debt is increasing dramatically. So they're getting less free money available for spending and more interest payments on their debts. A really bad combination. This makes me think of Warren Buffett because this is his worst case scenario. Like, this is what you absolutely do not want in a company. Bad cash flow and consistently increasing debts. I read an interesting tweet last week as well, actually, that Aspen's market cap is now less than MultiChoice's market cap. One is a life-saving drugs company. One produces life-saving drugs, and the other one, MultiChoice, is a waste of life, which I thought was
quite funny. Well, yeah, think about that for a moment. And yeah, it's quite a contrast.
Yeah, and half the problem with Aspen is that basically the business is going backwards by 5% per annum, 40 billion rand in debt. Ooh. I mean, I think Stephen Saad, who started and runs the company, is a good operator. And this, from here on out for Aspen, it really will be about execution. Mm-hmm. Everything will be about implementation. One wrong step, and I'm afraid that's it for them. And the question is, can Stephen Saad bring it back from the brink? I mean, this does remind you of Steinhoff, right? Because we go, oh, but management was so great until they weren't.
This is when I really don't envy the likes of the Stevens of the world. Yeah, you're sitting there, you're trying to make sense of it, but I guess that's what you sign up for as well.
Yeah, the share was down 15% on Friday.
I would need sleeping pills galore and anxiety medication.
What, if you're somebody's money manager or if you're Stephen Saad?
Oh, just in general, any sort of responsibility out there. And I'm not going to hold this against you. You are wearing their colors this morning. Did you notice that? Nedbank?
That was not intentional. That was like, what shall I wear? 4:15 in the whatever's clean.
Where's my Nedbank outfit? Where is it?
Exactly.
What do their results look like?
Better than expected. Well, it was in line with expectations, better than my expectations. Headline earnings per share was up 13.7%. Excluding their shareholding in EcoBank, their managed operations produced a very anemic 2.8% growth. So, again, pointing to this really tough economic environment in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Like, it's difficult. Credit loss was 53 basis points, so just over 0.5%. And then they managed to increase their net interest margin to 3.65%. So you see, even though it's really difficult in the banking space at the moment, they're still kind of managing to hobble along, make double-digit earnings per share growth. So, yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, I'm not going to go into the numbers because you know banks are all about ROEs and NIIs and capital ratios and margins and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Now that I've got your attention. Wake up.
Not your cup of tea.
But other than to say holding their own, basically. We've got Sanlam also reported, as expected, again, reflecting the weak South African economy, low investment environment. You know, their headline earnings per share fell 10%. Good news, new business is growing, but I think that's potentially because they're gaining market share more than anything else. We've got Capitec next week. Well, Capitec had a trading update last week, but we don't look at trading updates. We'll wait for the full results. And so we'll see what happens there.
What are you expecting?
Flat. So the results were just, the trading statement was just okay. I think they guided to between 13 and 17% HEPS growth, which is kind of in line with what you expect. The shares run so hard though. It's difficult to be, if you don't own the share, it's difficult to be buying it now because it's trading so expensively. And then we had U.S. non-farm payrolls, very disappointing on Friday. Only the U.S. created 20,000 jobs in February. We were expecting 180,000. This is the lowest we've seen since September 2017.
20,000 created.
And we were expecting 180,000.
I'd love to hear what Trump says about that.
Wouldn't you just?
I want to be a fly on the wall, as he now has to deal with his ego around this. Alas, okay.
Because he was saying that all those great numbers were because of him, right?
Exactly.
Now there's a really bad number.
Ooh.
Anyway, markets panicked a little bit on Friday, and we can see it in Asia again this morning. It's definitely trickled through, and I'm afraid this panic is probably going to filter through to the South African market this morning.
Oof.
But, you know, that's how it goes. Some days are good, some days are bad.
They cough, they sneeze rather than we catch the cold.
Indeed.
All right, well, this weekend, we also just hope Elon Musk doesn't tweet anything else.
Why not? He's so entertaining.
Is he an entertainer or is he trying to make, you know, great business decisions? We just hope that doesn't happen.
You just don't want to be earning Tesla shares, right?
Goodness, no,
while he's still got his phone in hand.
Anything else are you keeping your eye out on for this week?
Exxaro is also reporting. So the results are slowing down a little bit. And then we've got a bit of macro data, but nothing huge.
All right.
We should be good.
Well, thank you, Anthea.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a good week.
In your objectively green and black outfit, not Nedbank outfit. Have an awesome week, Anthea. And that is the Money Shot. Hope you were taking notes. But now time for you to feel a little better about humanity. Are you ready for this?
It's said by Sia.
Ah, said by Sia was said by Leanne this morning. Thanks, Leanne. But really, this story this morning, actually, I don't know about you, but I hope it will just give you more faith in humanity. I love the fact that there's this young boy in the UK, young is almost a bit of an understatement, he's 5 years old, and he's going through and battling cancer right now, and is in need of some stem cell help, and the community rallied up to test and figure out if they were viable to assist him in this situation. So they all stood in line for these tests, and 4,855 people ended up waiting in line.
She's like, that's
to
more
simply
than
figure out
how many people would stand in
a
queue to vote.
I think this is so incredible. So this is a record number of almost 5,000 people who stood in line in the rain for hours to see if they were a stem cell match for this 5-year-old who's battling cancer. His name is Oscar, and he has acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Doctors told his family that he only has 3 months to find a doctor to help cure his cancer. And Oscar's parents, Olivia and Jamie, launched an appeal to find a match after the diagnosis. Their goal was to just get as many people as possible to sign up to a blood stem cell donor register as part of a campaign they called Hand in Hand for Oscar. But it was so inspiring to see that with this, the reaction has been so fantastic. There were heavy showers where they all met just outside of Oscar's school when this happened, and a record number of nearly 5,000 people stood in line. And this was all just hosted as a special drive for prospective donors. All they had to do was give a simple swab and donate blood to be considered. And so the charity hosting the drive, which is DKMS, said its previous record for a single event was 2,200 people. So Oscar's campaign more than doubled that. The school, Oscar's school, says that there are no words to express our heartfelt thanks and love for the thousands of amazing people who have turned up at Pidmiston Primary School this weekend. We have registered 4,855 stem cell donors, and the volunteers were incredible. So Oscar's currently in the care of doctors at Birmingham Children's Hospital. He has already undergone 20 blood transfusions and 4 weeks of chemotherapies. That is not easy at all. And they say that Oscar's a fun-loving, energetic five-year-old boy who deserves to live to the full alongside the other troopers fighting such horrific diseases. Not only does he need to enjoy a normal life as a child should live, but he now needs someone else to save him. And that is why, you know, nearly 5,000 people have stepped up. I think this is so inspiring.
Yeah, let's hope they find a match out of all those people.
You really think about it. These aren't people who were promised money. They weren't promised a free meal. They weren't promised a six-month Netflix subscription. These are people who said, I will take time out of my own weekend and I will stand out and just be of service to someone, hopefully. And so that's why I think it's so sweet. Isn't it just...
Yeah, very. Very good.
That's your said by CFO this morning. If that didn't make your heart pump a little faster and start pumping custard, then I don't know what will. Just saying. Going to your messages, I did say if you want to add anything to the conversation, you can message us 079-748-2090. You can Skype us as well. Going back to Ben, what you were citing that you watched a bit of, Michelle said that Dirty John is also a podcast.
Oh yeah, of course.
Oh.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
So okay, maybe I'll consider that rather. So it's the story, Dirty John, remind us again, of a guy based on a true story.
Based on a true story. I don't want to give away too much, but yeah, he's just preys on the over 50s, woman looking for a second chance at love.
Oh, and the drama ensues there.
Yeah, they go on these terrible dates, one after the other, then this guy says what they want to hear, digs his claws in, and then he's in. He's taking your stuff, he's ruining your family.
So twisted.
But he makes nice smoothies.
Oh? Oh, that's a plus. There has to be a plus.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd consider that in, you know, debating a spouse. But anyway. All right. Well, it is the 11th of March, 2013. It's the Monday edition of the Gareth Cliff Show. As we said at the beginning, Gareth is away for the week, skiing and on holiday. But when we come back after this, we have some news stories to discuss. So much happening in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll carry on as... with the show as usual. Ben, you mentioned this, I think you just, I wouldn't even say you dropped it into the conversation last week, you just skimmed past it because clearly you were not a 12-year-old girl 10 years ago, but the Jonas Brothers are back.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they had to get back. So what happened with the Jonas Brothers before we go to the break is that they were so tired of the Jonas who had married Priyanka Chopra having all these different weddings. They said eventually we have to restart the band so he'll just shut up about the wedding.
Ah.
That's why they became the Jonas Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I say this all to say just because they have a new single out. I've been listening to it over the past couple of days. I actually don't think it's all that bad and I'm enjoying it. So here's the Jonas Brothers' new single. It's called Sucker. Listen to it. Let's discuss it. Let me know what you think. This is the Gareth Cliff Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.